Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are thankful that we may respond to God's call to gather together this morning. May we worship him in spirit and in truth, both here and also via the live stream. We extend a warm welcome to visitors and guests who are joining us today. May God's word dwell richly in our hearts as we praise and glorify his name. Consistory has the following announcements. Due to the retirement of Elders S. Plater, W. Spiker, K. Van Dyke, J. Van Dongen and H. Zandman, and also Deacons R. De Vries and H. Siggers, Consistory invites the congregation to submit names of brothers deemed suitable to serve in the office of Elder and or Deacon. The letters of nomination are to be substantiated and signed and to be handed to the Secretary prior to the meeting of Consistory with Deacons scheduled for Monday the 21st of September. You are reminded of the congregational meeting tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock to discuss the mission work in lay PNG. Brother Joshua Skibarn and Sister Marissa Denboer have indicated their intention to be married according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Friday the 9th of October at 1 o'clock in the Free Reformed Church of Mount Azura with Reverend Poppy officiating. Sister Aline van Wout, who a few months ago returned to the Netherlands, has requested to withdraw her membership from the Free Reformed Church of Southern River. She intends to join a Reformed Church which desires to be faithful to God's word. Consistory therefore accepts her withdrawal and we wish her the Lord's blessing back in her home country and new congregation. This morning Reverend Poppy will lead the worship service and this afternoon we may welcome Reverend Van de Acht, Emeritus Minister from our sister church in Byford. Before we commence this service, let us sing Psalm 92, verse 1.
Please rise and let's worship the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our God. We're going to sing of the Lord as our shepherd, Psalm 100, the verses 1 through 4. God gave us his law to teach us who he is, also to show us how to live in a relationship with him, and when we fall short of that, to show us what Christ has done for us. Let's listen to what God says to us in his law, and then after that we're going to sing together from Psalm 51, verse 4. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and who keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or daughter, or your manservant or maidservant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant or his female servant, or his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. When you hear, brothers and sisters, it may be that you're convicted in your heart of sin that you've committed before God. But it is in Romans 8, verse 1, that God comforts us of the gift that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Well, let's sing of the forgiveness we receive, also of the conviction that we have of our sins, Psalm 51, verse 4. Let's now call upon the Lord in prayer and let's ask God for his blessing. Dear Father in heaven, on this Sunday morning we once again come into your presence and we do so with a lot of joy in our hearts. We rejoice in your blessings towards us. Thank you for giving us this day of rest, Father. Thank you that we can start off our week by by resting from all the regular work that we have to do, by having a day of fellowship with you. We want to ask you for your blessing over the time that we may spend with you. Father, we pray that you would show your love to us, that you remind us of your grace, that you open our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that we're able to understand what you have done for us in Christ, and that we love you more and more. Please help us to respond to that, Father. Grant that we have willing hearts where we seek to walk in your ways, where we seek to do your will out of love for you. Father, we must confess that when we look back at this past week, there have been times where we haven't done so. Sometimes it's happened to us, Lord, that we've got caught in sin, that we allow ourselves to brood over dark thoughts. Sometimes it happens that we have allowed ourselves to commit certain sins, things that you know, that we know that displease you and that offend you. Father, we're sorry about our sins. We pray for your forgiveness. We ask that you wash us clean. We sang with David that you would create a clean heart in us and that you renew a steadfast spirit in us. We pray, Father, that this may be the case, that through your powerful working and through your love, that you make us into new people who are devoted to knowing you and to living with you. Father, it's a great joy that we have this relationship with you, and we pray that you build it up today as well as we listen to the proclamation of the gospel. Please accept our thanks also that we have the opportunity to meet here with you and to worship you. We see other places in our country and other places in the world where people are not able to do that. They can't freely come into your presence. And Lord, we're so grateful that we have this possibility. We wish to acknowledge that before you. Please bless us now in our time together. Please keep sin and evil far from us. And please hear us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning I get to preach the gospel to you about Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. And in connection with that, I'd like to read two passages of the scriptures. First, we're going to read together from Ezekiel 34. Talks about the shepherds of Israel and what the Lord is going to do as a shepherd for his people. And then in John 10. So we'll start reading Ezekiel 34, the verses 1 through 24. You can find that on page 857 of your guest Bible. So in Ezekiel 34, we'll read the first 24 verses. There God's word says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for the sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Then we turn in our reading to the book of John. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We'll read the first 18 verses. That's page 1065. John 10, we'll read verses 1 to 18. There the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Let's now sing together. We're going to sing of the Lord as the shepherd of his sheep, Psalm 23, the verses 1, 2, and 3. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from the passage we read together from John 10. Let's read together again the verses 11 through 16. John 10, we'll start reading at verse 11, we'll read through to verse 16. There, God's word says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." Then after the proclamation of God's word, let's sing together from hymn 56, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, life in a fallen world is often difficult. You know, sometimes it happens that on the outside it looks as if we have our life together, but really on the inside there can be times where it's a profound struggle. Sometimes we're struggling with sin. At times we're attacked by powerful spiritual enemies. There are times where you feel exhausted, and you feel overwhelmed, and you don't know how you're going to continue. You know, real life, young people, maybe it happens sometimes that you're just overwhelmed by the work. You have a whole bunch of tests and assignments, and you're behind on that. And then you have exams that are coming up, and you don't see how you're going to make it through it all. And sometimes you can get extremely stressed in that kind of situation. Or maybe you sisters have it, that you look after your families and you just get worn out. You're up at night, you're looking after the baby, and then during the day you have to take care of the kids, and you have to do the school run, and you have to do the meal preparation, you have to look after your house, you have to do Bible study, you have to take care of your husband, you have to look after all the other things that need doing. And you can get to the stage where you just can't see your way through it, and it's too much. You don't know how you're going to continue. Or maybe you face a lot of disappointment in life. Maybe people have disappointed you profoundly. Or maybe things didn't turn out in your life the way that you'd hoped. Maybe you have broken family relationships. Or you're struggling financially. Or you've had a falling out with a friend. Maybe you're addicted to your phone. You can't stop compulsively scrolling, even though it leaves you empty. And you wish that you can make a difference. Or maybe you have a certain pattern in your life. You've given sin a place in your life at some point. And you didn't really realize it when it was happening. But now you look back and you see how powerful sin has become within your life. And you grieve it. And you wish it was different. And yet the sins of the past, they haunt you. And they don't let you go. Well, you have doubts in your faith. You can lack assurance. You can wonder if it's ever going to be different. And then when you get a little older, you have to face the ultimate realities of life. Then your body breaks down. Then your spouse passes away. Then you realize that your end is coming. There are times when life can be really hard, brothers and sisters. You know, the worst of it is if it feels that you're in it alone, and that nobody understands, and that nobody really cares about you. You're going down, and you can't see your way through, and there's no one who stands alongside of you. No one knows you well enough to see what's really going on. and you feel that you're being overwhelmed and you can't do it on your own. Have you ever been there? The question becomes, what do you do then? And how do you handle it? And how do you move forward? And how do you make sense of life? Well, your father tells you that you need to understand that you are not alone. He says that he knows. And he tells you that he cares. He made you into the person who you are. He crafted you in your mother's womb. He gave you the character and the personality that you have. And he placed you into your circumstance. And he says that he's leading you into glory. He's in control of every single event of your life. And the one thing that he wants you to know is that he cares about you very deeply. He cares about you more deeply than you can imagine. Well, this is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to you this morning, brothers and sisters. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so I preach God's word to you this morning with this theme: Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We're going to see in the first place the failings of the hired hand, then the sacrifice of the good shepherd, and finally the gathering of the one flock. If you wish to understand how well Christ knows you and how much he loves you, then it's important to understand the imagery of a shepherd with his sheep. Jesus Christ says he is the good shepherd. If you want to know what that means, then you have to understand what a shepherd does for his sheep. Now, here in our congregation, I don't think that anyone's a shepherd. There might be a few of you. I know one for sure who's got a couple of sheep. But it doesn't quite qualify. It's different being a shepherd in Israel than looking after a sheep here today. If you're a shepherd in Israel, then typically you'd have around 100 sheep. And it was your job to find food and pasture for your sheep and to look after them. Now, taking care of sheep was the basic part of the fabric of many people's lives. They were an agriculturally based community, and sheep were an essential part of normal life in Israel. And it wasn't the food in the first place, that was also a bonus, but the biggest thing was the wool. Once a year, they would shear the sheep, and they would take the wool, and they would make this into their clothing. Now, the most foundational thing you need to understand about sheep is that sheep can't look after themselves. The sheep is dependent. It's different if you have goats. Like we have it here, if you go out to the Wangong Gorge, then apparently there's some wild goats. And they can look after themselves. They live on their own, and they kind of root around, and they take care of themselves. Well, a sheep can never do that. Because a sheep, in the first place, it doesn't know how to look after itself. And also, it's defenseless against predators. And it, you know, maybe it could happen here in Australia, but if you're in Israel, where you have lions, and you have bears, and you have wolves, then a sheep on its own would never survive. And so an important part of the shepherd's task was to protect their sheep. You read about David talking about that, 1 Samuel 17:34. He rescued the sheep from the lion and the bear. Sometimes they attacked his sheep, and he was out there. And literally, he would attack them. I took it by the beard, and I smote him and killed him. That's what the scripture says. And so this was necessary. This was an essential part of the shepherd's role. He had to take it upon himself to protect his sheep. At times, sheep would wander off into hazardous territory. They get lost. They go down into a ravine, and they couldn't get back out again. And it was the shepherd's job to go after it and to restore this sheep to the fold. Shepherds had to help with the lambing. They had to treat those who got sick or injured. At times, they had to carry the little ones. And so it was not uncommon for a shepherd in Israel that they would take their flock and they would leave and find pasture. Sometimes they'd be able to stay close to home, but often they would have to go off, you know, they'd go away for 2 weeks at a time. And they'd find a pasture, a different place where their sheep could get some food. What they often did at night is they had certain pens for the sheep along the way. And so they would keep the sheep in the pen at night, protect it from thieves and also from wild animals and also from the cold. And then sometimes what happened is that the shepherd would literally lie in the doorway of the pen. He was the door for the sheep. And so he was the protection for his flock. That's the imagery that the Lord Jesus Christ picks up on here in verse 3 of our text. Well, if you were out there, then oftentimes it was a really lonely task. The shepherd would often speak to his sheep. He would call them and he would talk to them. Day by day, he would lead his sheep around. Well, in the evening, when they went to the pens, then they often met together with a bunch of shepherds. So they met at the pens, and they spent an evening in fellowship together. You can read that, for example, of the shepherds who were tending the flocks at night outside Bethlehem in the days of the Lord Jesus, Luke 2, verse 8. Well, in the morning, when they went off their separate ways, then it wasn't a problem for them to get the sheep to follow them, because they would call. They would call their sheep, and the sheep had heard their voice all day, every day, and so the sheep would follow them wherever they were going. Well, every morning and every evening, the shepherd would count his sheep. He was accountable to his master for all the sheep, and if he lost one or if one went missing, that was his responsibility. And it was understood that a shepherd had to do whatever it took to look after his sheep. A responsible shepherd would never kill or eat his sheep, because that didn't fit within the context within which they worked. Their job was to protect and to look after the sheep, and so they would never do such a thing. And sometimes, just to get a sense about how bad it could get sometimes it happened that a shepherd would even die in looking after his sheep. You have the story in Genesis 31 it's Genesis 37, where Joseph's brothers staged their brother's death. And they did it by taking his cloak and dipping it in blood, and their father came to the conclusion that his son must have been killed by a wild animal while looking after the sheep. Well, the highlight of the year for a shepherd would have been the sheep shearing. You bring the sheep back home, or sometimes the owner of the sheep would come out to the festival, they'd have this grand feast, and they would shear the sheep. You can read about that, for example, with Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. Well, you hear about this, you think about this, the foundational dynamic between shepherd and his sheep is that sheep are utterly dependent upon their care for their shepherd. Sheep are helpless. They need someone to lead them to food and water. They need someone to protect them from wild animals. They need someone to help them if they're sick or if they're lost, if they're having young, or if they're getting left behind. Well, it's in this context that the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he says, "I am the good shepherd." He's the one who knows his sheep. Verse 14, "I know my own and my own know me." And he's building on what he said earlier in the chapter. He says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, in our text, in order to show what Christ does for his people, he contrasts his work with that of the hired hand. Now, since shepherding was often a dangerous task, sometimes very demanding, not everyone was up to it. You can imagine if you're hired to look after someone's sheep, and the day comes that one of the sheep is being attacked by a lion or a bear. Now, you can think to yourself, well, I'm being well paid for looking after the sheep, but I can get killed if I have to fight against this lion or bear. And so if one of these wild animals attacks, it's very well possible for a hired hand just to say, "Listen, that's just too much. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go there." But there are other shepherds who are in it for themselves. They looked after the sheep, but along the way, they helped themselves to some lamb chops. That was the Lord's charge against the leaders in the Old Testament. He uses the imagery of a shepherd looking after his sheep, and he says of them, Ezekiel 34, verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. You know, real life, brothers and sisters, the way this imagery gets worked out in Israel is Jeremiah explains it. It's in chapter 2 and 3. He says there that the priests forgot about the Lord, and he didn't teach the law to the people. They followed the Baal, and they followed the gods of the nations around them. Or Hosea talks about it in chapter 4. Instead of leading the people in love and faithfulness, these priests had no knowledge of God. They didn't know God. They didn't have a relationship with him. Instead, they said, Scripture says, they were guilty of swearing and lying and murder and stealing and committing adultery. These are the hired men who care nothing for the sheep, but they're in it for themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks about the role of the shepherd, he contrasts that with the hireling. And the reason he does so in John 10 is because he's saying that he's different from the other shepherds of Israel. If you go back to John 9, we didn't read that chapter, but if you go back to John 9, it's the story of Jesus healing this man who was born blind. And the situation in that chapter is that there was this man who was born blind, and Jesus healed him. But then after he was healed, then the Pharisees came after him. And they wanted to know how he was healed. And the reason they were so upset is because Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath day. And so they said, this man can't be from God, because he heals people on the Sabbath day. But then Jesus, he shows that he is God. He reveals himself to this man as indeed being the Son of God, and the man comes to put his faith in Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees, they just don't let up. The age-old trick of the devil is that what he does is he attacks Jesus Christ, and he attacks the people of God. And then if the day comes that he's not able to attack Christ directly, then what he does is he goes after anyone who would follow him. And so these Pharisees, first they attack Jesus Christ, but then what they start doing also is that Scripture says here in John 9, verse 22, that they put out of the synagogue anyone who didn't believe or who believed in Jesus. And so all of a sudden they come to this man's parents and they ask him, is this your son? Was he born blind? And his parents say to him, yes, he is our son. And yes, he was born blind. And now he sees. But if you want to know how it happened, you better ask him, because he's an adult. He can tell you himself. And so they just didn't want responsibility for actually saying that Jesus Christ was the one who healed him, because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to be excommunicated from the church. Well, when the man insists that he actually was healed by Jesus, then that's what they do. They throw him out of church. They excommunicate him. And they start lecturing him that he was steeped in sin. And so they really seek to attack him. They mock him. We have to understand, they're supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. They're supposed to look after the people. They had to teach the people who God was and what God had done for them. They had to help the people understand that Jesus was the Christ, and that God loved them, and that Jesus Christ showed them the extent of God's love for them. But these scribes and Pharisees, they were doing the opposite. They didn't love Jesus. They were more like the hired hand than a faithful shepherd. And if you look at the rest of their lives, you can see how far it goes for them. It's in Mark 12, 39, we're told that they took the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at the feasts. Or in Luke 16, 14, we're told that they loved money. Or in John 2, we're told they didn't care at all about the worship of God. They used the temple as a place of making money. Or in John 19, we're told that it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over to Pilate. And so these men didn't care about the Lord. They didn't build a life of looking after his people. They especially failed in directing the people to Jesus as the Christ. They were greedy and envious men who cared nothing for others, but only for their own wealth and their luxury and their honor. Well, it is in this context that Christ says he is the good shepherd. He's not like these men who are in it for themselves. No, he cares deeply for his people. As earlier on, he uses an image to try to describe and to explain how much he cares for his people. You have a story in Mark 6 of where Jesus spent, he just spent a ton of energy looking after these people day after day after day. And it's at that stage, after he cared for them and looked after them, that at one point he told his disciples, Mark 6 verse 31, he says, let's go away. Let's get a rest for ourselves. And so they hop into the boat and they go off to the other side of the lake. They tried to find a desolate place. The Bible tells us that even before they got there, the crowds ran around the side of the shore, and they got there ahead of them. And as soon as Jesus landed, then he had crowds of people who were crowding around him again. Well, he's exhausted from teaching them. He's saddened at their unbelief. But what does he do? So Mark 6:34, it says, when he went to shore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. They had no one who loved them. No one who cared for them. No one who was teaching them or looking out for them. And so the Lord Jesus took it upon himself to do for them what they needed. Well, it's not only true long ago, brothers and sisters. It's true for you today as well. Your Lord cares for you. He loves you. He will do whatever it takes to look after you. You know, real life, in the scriptures, God fleshes it out. He talks about what that really looks like. David says in Psalm 23, it's the most famous passage in the Old Testament that Christ was drawing on. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Well, with Jesus as your shepherd, you won't suffer want, brothers and sisters. You may need certain things, but he sees that, and he knows what you need, and he'll give it to you. He'll lead you to green pastures beside quiet waters. There's going to be times where you struggle, where you have profound difficulty in your heart. And he promises that he will restore your soul. You know, most of the trouble we're in, it's of our own making. We do it to ourselves. We give sin a place in our lives. And things are really difficult. We respond badly to the circumstances of our lives. But the Lord knows that. But he doesn't disregard you just because you've done it to yourself. He promises to be your shepherd. When the sheep wander off, when they go down into a ravine, or when they get lost, or when they break a leg somewhere, it's not as if the shepherd says, well, you've made the mess yourself, now you got to lay in your own bed and you got to figure it out by yourself. No, he's the good shepherd. He comes after you. He goes down into the ravine. And he lifts you onto his shoulders, and he carries you back, and he brings you to the flock. And he provides for you. And he ensures that it goes well for you. You know, it's not to say that you won't suffer, brothers and sisters. David talks about that as well. But he has a comfort in the midst of that. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, you may have had a taste of the valley of the shadow of death, brothers and sisters. Maybe you suffer ongoing physical pain, the breakdown of the body. Or maybe you have stress with your spouse, or with your boss, or with a coworker. Maybe it leads to some pretty dark thoughts for you. Or maybe you struggle with sin, with covetousness, or with anger, or with greed. Or maybe you're tired of the circumstances that God has given you. You have a family member who has a mental illness, or special needs. Or you have a broken family. Or you have a physical ailment. Or maybe you grieve the rebellion of your children. Or you grieve the loss of a loved one. Maybe someone's committed a serious sin against you. You have a hard time dealing with the evil of it and coming to grips with it. Or maybe the consequences of some really old sins come back to haunt you. And you have to deal with it. You have to come to grips with it. You know, David was there. He knew it. He lived it. He had a wife who despised him. He had a father-in-law and a son who wanted to kill him. At one stage, his enemies had captured him. And they wanted the Philistines. They wanted to kill him. He had serious sins that haunted him. But it was in that moment that he says that he feared no evil. He had peace in his soul because the Lord was his shepherd and because the Lord promised to look after him. And that's the promise that Jesus Christ extends to you. He sees when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, and he does not leave you there on your own. When you can't do it by yourself, when you're at the end of your rope, then on those occasions you can tell the Good Shepherd about where you're at. You can ask him for help, even if the mess is your own. And you can be sure that he will do it for you. It's in Isaiah 40, verse 11. There he promises that he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Or it is in Ezekiel 34, verse 16. We just read it together. The Lord says that he will search for the lost. He will bring back the strays. He will bind up the injured, and he will strengthen the weak. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're vulnerable, and he sees where we're being attacked. But he is your shepherd, and he will literally do whatever it takes to make sure that it goes good for you. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, that's the core. At root, the real difficulty in our life, it comes because of sin. It comes because of death. It comes because of the attacks of the devil. But it is through his death and through his resurrection that Jesus Christ has overcome sin, that he defeated death, and that he's overcome the devil. And so he offers you that when you look to him in faith, he says, I will use my power on your behalf. I am the good shepherd, and I realize that you're dependent upon me. But it's as you look to me in faith that I will help you. And you know, real life for us today, brothers and sisters, one of the profound ways he does it, he explains it a little later in John 14 to 16, he says he does it through his Holy Spirit. It is by means of his Spirit, after he ascended into heaven, he sends down his Spirit to live with you in your heart. That was the great comfort that he offered to his disciples. They didn't want him to leave. And he said to them, don't worry, because when I go, I'm not leaving you on your own. He says, I will come to you. I will send my Spirit into your hearts. And the Spirit will lead you, and he will guide you. He will give you peace, and he will comfort you. And so after his ascension into heaven, we are literally even more blessed than the disciples were beforehand, because we have Christ much closer to us than the disciples ever did. He lives in you. When you hear his word, when you take that to heart, then with his Spirit, he lays that on your heart, and he impresses that on you, and then you can receive the comfort of God, and you can receive the encouragement that you need to move on into the future. Then on top of that, the Lord also promises to help you through his personal messengers. It's in verse 16, he talks about the ongoing work of gathering his church through the ages. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Christ not only sends his Spirit, he also sends office bearers into his church. And it is the great calling of the elders and the deacons in Christ's church to represent Christ in their dealings with his people. You know, it's our task and it's our joy that we may bring the word of Christ to you, brothers and sisters. You know, I get to do that as a preacher. Every Sunday I get to open the gospel for you. And the greatest message that I seek to give to you And I do it with a lot of weakness, and it often doesn't come across how it should. But the greatest message is that Jesus is the Christ, and he is your Savior, and he's done it for you. And so you need to look to him in faith. You need to trust him, because he does love you, and he will care for you. And it's as you know of his love that you grow in trusting him, that you open your heart to him, and you rely upon him. And then he helps you, and he carries you through your life. And it's the same for us when we meet with you as elders and deacons. We come into your home. It is our great joy, it's our great task to open the Word of God with you, to remind you of who God is and what God has done for you, and to show you especially the riches of belonging to your Savior, to the Good Shepherd. It's the calling we've received from God. It's in Acts 20, verse 28. God exhorts us. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Brothers, what it means is that God calls us to sacrificially love his people. We are to give our lives in service of the sheep, as Christ has done for us. We are to remind them of the love that God has for them, and they are to be encouraged in their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, it's an enormous responsibility. But the real comfort is that we don't do that in our own strength. We look to our Savior, and he's promised us that he'll help us, and he'll give us whatever we need to do the work. He also reminds us to ensure that we show his love to his people, and that we never fall into the trap of being like a hired hand. That's the warning of 1 Peter 5 in the first four verses there. The Apostle Peter exhorts the elders. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. And then he draws a contrast between the hired hand and the good shepherd, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, and not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. There's a strong warning for the elders of the church here that they not fall into the trap of being hired men, that they not do it for themselves and for their own gain, that they not take advantage of the flock or ignore the flock, but rather that they serve willingly, eagerly, and examples to the flock. Well, may God strengthen us with his Holy Spirit so that we are able to, with his power, accomplish the task that he sets before us. And you know the good news, brothers and sisters? The good news is that God will accomplish what he sets out to do. At the end of the scriptures, he picks up on this imagery once again. It's in Revelation 7. If you want to open your Bible with me, we'll read a few verses there. So in Revelation 7, we have the account of the church of God gathered around his throne. There is this great multitude that's standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and it's celebrating the salvation that God has offered to them. So the first 12 verses of the chapter, it talks about them standing before God's throne and singing God's praises. And they're joined together with all the angels. And then it's in verse 13 and following, I'll read with you. Revelation 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It is the righteous, it is those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have washed their robes in his blood. They are the people who get to gather around the throne and they get to celebrate for all time the amazing gift that God has given them. They get to live with Him in a new world, in a world where there is no more sin or brokenness, no more crying or shame any longer. Well, this is the great promise that we get to look forward to, brothers and sisters. Christ is your shepherd, and He loves you, and He's leading you into this eternal glory. Amen. Let's sing together. We're going to sing of the care of the shepherd, looking after his lambs, hymn 56, the verses 1 through 4. Now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. In our prayer this morning, we'll also remember the work of Fairhaven. We'll ask God for a blessing over the work that they do, the care that they have, and also the governance of the board. Let's pray to God. Dear Father in heaven, this Sunday morning we thank you for the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. We are so thankful for the care that you show us, Lord. That you are willing to die for us. You're willing to lay down your life in sacrifice. It's something that you demonstrated over the years of your ministry. It's something that reached fulfillment at your suffering and death on the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you for what you have accomplished for us. And together with the church that's gathered around your throne, together with the angels and the four living creatures, we want to give you honor and glory for what you do for us. Lord, we need your help. We are sheep. We often go astray. Sometimes we wander off. Sometimes we get lost. We go down into ravines. We break a lake. We are those, Father, who sometimes sin against you. We make a mess of our lives. And we get caught in dark places. Lord, when we're in that place, then at times we can feel very alone. We can feel that no one knows us, and no one loves us, and no one cares for us. Thank you that you promise us that you do love us, and that you will carry us, and that you will restore us. We pray, Lord, that you would give us great faith, that we look to Jesus Christ, that we trust him to be our Savior who will help us, that we rely upon him to forgive us all our sins and to restore us into a relationship with our Father, with you. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us this great faith, that we may share in the righteousness of our Savior. Lord, we pray that as we go through life and as we deal with the brokenness that we face, that we don't get overwhelmed by it, but that you carry us. To this end, Lord, we pray especially for a blessing over the work of the office bearers. We pray, Lord, for myself as a preacher, that I'm able to faithfully proclaim the message of the gospel, that I can speak often of who Christ is and what he has done for us, and that as your people, that we may be encouraged by the voice of the Good Shepherd. Lord, help me to correctly handle your word so that the truth of your word is proclaimed to your people. And please grant that as a congregation, that we may hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, that we may listen to it, and that we may build our lives on the promises that you extend us in Christ. Father in heaven, we also pray that you would be near to the elders and deacons, that they too may have what they need to be able to bring your word faithfully to your people. Thank you for their faithful service. Thank you for the love that they have for your children. Thank you also for the work that they do to remind your people of who you are and what you have done. And then, Father, we also acknowledge that as office bearers, we have a lot of sin and weakness. We often fall short. Sometimes we don't know what's going on in the lives of your people. And sometimes we don't care for them as we should. We acknowledge that to you, Lord, and we ask you for your forgiveness. And we pray that it may be different. And we also pray, Father, that you would help us as a congregation, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may love one another from the heart. Please grant that as you have loved us through your Son, that we may love one another, and that we show that by serving each other in love. Lord, please grant that in this way that we can have great unity within our congregation, that we delight to encourage and build each other up, that we're willing to forgive one another, that we're willing to serve and to help each other, and that it may go well with us. Father, we pray that you take care of us in the difficulties that we face. We think of some of the members of our congregation. We want to entrust them to your care. Father, we think of our brother and sister, John and Christine Mahoney. Especially our sister hasn't been able to be in church in quite some time. We ask that you be near to them, that you comfort them, and that you help them. We think of our sister Martha Scoof. Lord, we pray also for her, that you give her relief from the pain, that you comfort her and be near to her. Father, we want to ask you that you take care of also our sister Wagoner. She hasn't been able to be here to worship with us for quite some time. We also pray, Lord, for many of the elderly people among us. They face the breakdown of the body. They have to deal with sickness and with brokenness. We also think of our sister Sue Bonker. We're grateful that she can worship with us this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for the restoration that you give to her. But at the same time, we also pray that you would be near to her and also to her husband, John, that you carry our brother and sister with your love and care. Please be near to them and please comfort them. But we also ask that you care for so many other of the elderly among us. They face the breakdown of the body. They have to deal with pain. They have to deal with brokenness. We also pray, Father, that you take care of somebody else, somebody others among us who have to deal with the fallout of sin and with brokenness. Those who have to contend with family members who experience mental illness or special needs. Please be with those who have special needs. Please be with those who struggle with mental illness. Be a father to them and comfort them and help them. Please also be with their carers as well and grant that they may have the strength and energy that they need. Father, we pray that you would be a father to those who struggle in faith. There are some members of our congregation who are not faithful in serving you, who have doubts about your promises, who are not worshiping together with us. We ask, Lord, that you would work repentance in their heart, that they may believe in you, that they may put their trust in you, that they may realize what kind of a God you are, that they may seek your face. Please help them in this with your Holy Spirit for Christ's sake. Father, we also pray that you would please care for all of us in all the different circumstances of life. Even in normal life, sometimes there are periods where we can be overwhelmed by things. We ask that you carry us, and that you give us what we need, and that you sustain us through it all. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. And thank you that we may ask you for your help, and that you're willing to sustain us. Father, this morning we also wish to pray for your blessing over the work that's being done at Fairhaven. I want to ask, Lord, for the care of the old people, that you look after them, and that you grant that they may be well provided for. I also want to pray, Father, that you be near to the board during this time. Many of us have heard about some struggles that are going on. We don't know the details, but we wish to entrust them to your care. We want to ask, Father, for a rich measure of your Holy Spirit, that you give wisdom, that you give love, that you give understanding, that you care for those who are looking after the seniors and care for the board, and that together it may go well, and that this important work of looking after our parents and grandparents may rest under your blessing. Lord, you are our shepherd, and we need your help. And we thank you for the promise of your care. We rely upon it for Christ's sake. We also wish to ask you, Father, for a blessing over the work of the Theological Seminary. We're grateful that they can start a new semester. We want to pray for your blessing over them. Thank you, Lord, that Dr. Den Hollander could begin his work. We want to ask for a blessing over him as well as he starts off as a New Testament professor. We pray, Lord, that you'd also bless the work that was done by Dr. Vischer. Thankful for his many years, for 20 years of service that he has at the seminary. We pray that you would be near to him also in his old age. Father, please grant your blessing over the professors, that they may be faithful, that they may be humble, that they may correctly handle the word of truth, that you will protect them from spiritual attack. We pray, Father, that you would also be near to the students, that they would learn how to proclaim the message of the gospel, and that it would go well with them. Please also keep them safe and in your care. We're grateful, Lord, that we can hear the proclamation of the gospel. We're grateful that you raise up men to preach. We want to ask you that you continue to raise up a new generation of ministers who are willing to go out and proclaim the message of the gospel. Dear Father in heaven, this morning we also wish to offer our thank offerings to you. We are going to have a collection now for the work that's being done in mission in Papua New Guinea. We want to pray for your blessing over that as well, Father. Please be with Pastor Ryan and his wife Ruth and their family. Please grant that he may continue faithfully in his work. Please also be near to the indigenous pastors who are doing the work there and look after the elders, and grant that they may faithfully build up your church in love for you. Please also take care of the rest of the people who are busy there, not only in Leigh, but also in Port Moresby at the RCBC. Grant that the work at the Bible College may continue, and that it too may rest under your blessing. Please protect them from the coronavirus, and please allow them to be faithful and to continue with their work. We entrust them to your care, Father, and we do it for Christ, in Christ's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the collection this morning is for the mission work in PNG. You're going to have an opportunity to give your thank offerings to the Lord in just a moment when you exit the building here, or else if you wish to do it electronically, you can also do that as well. I'd like to read just one passage with you. I'm going to read with you from Isaiah chapter 49. In Isaiah 49, it talks about the work of the servant of the Lord and what he's going to do in gathering his church. Isaiah 49, verse 5, "Now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." Jesus Christ came so that the Gentiles, the nations, people from all over the world, and he's referring to us as well, that we could hear the message of the gospel. Well, this morning we have the opportunity to extend this message also into Papua New Guinea. And brothers and sisters, in closing, I invite you to rise, and we're going to sing together from hymn 55, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.